Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. Why does a new year start on January 1st? Have you ever wondered that? I've wondered that since I was a teenager. If you really think about it, there is nothing significant about January 1st. It's not a solstice or an equinox, so there's no astronomical place in space to make it a significant day. It's not attached to the moon phases anyway, and that's how people used to reckon their months. So why January 1st? Now, if you don't know this about me yet, I'm a bit of a history geek, and I have a very curious mind. A few years ago, I decided I was tired of wondering about this question, and I searched for the answer. I wasn't surprised to discover that many cultures started their new year in the spring, but I was really surprised to learn that the American colonies observed the new year on March 25th, all the way until the year 1752, when the rest of Europe had already switched to January 1st, 170 years earlier. Tonight's episode is going to take us back in time as we explore the history of refining the modern calendar while humanity finally tuned our knowledge of the Earth's motion around the sun. You'll have an all-new appreciation of the tracking of time as you celebrate New Year's Day this year. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tours podcast, please add it to your gift list this holiday season. There is one magical gift you can give to me that will add to my joy as we go into 2023, a rating and a review. It costs nothing, but it means the world to me. This is especially important if you're using Apple Podcasts. Ratings and reviews put me on their map and lets them know, hey, people like Night Sky Tourist. You should let more people see it when they're looking for a new podcast to enjoy. Every single review I get gives those algorithms a nudge, and every nudge gets Night Sky Tourist into the consciousness of more people. Here's a review I received from the listener, AZ Sunny Skies. Information about the night sky is readily available on the internet. What the Night Sky Tourist uniquely provides is how the night sky has and can affect everything that we do. Things such as ancient ruins, animal behavior, and human behavior are closely connected to the night sky. Fascinating facts. See, it's that simple. Just click on 5 stars and then write something simple to let the next listener know why you love it so much. I'm so excited about taking Night Sky Tourist into 2023, and I would love to have more people along for the ride. Would you please take a moment today and leave me a rating and a review? Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. The oldest recorded celebration of the new year was over 4,000 years ago, and not surprisingly, it was in ancient Babylon. And they celebrated it at the spring equinox. But not every ancient culture celebrated it at that time. The Egyptians, Persians, and Phoenicians celebrated at the fall equinox, and the Greeks celebrated it at the winter solstice. The common denominator, though, between all of these is that it was celebrated on a day that had astronomical significance. And because of that, they could use their sky-watching techniques to know the exact day of the new year. Before Christianity arrived in Rome, The ancient Romans held a feast day on January 1st in honor of the god Janus. Janus was depicted with two faces. One looked to the past and the other looked to the future. And he was known as the god of beginnings, gates, transitions, and time. When Christianity spread across the Roman Empire in the 3rd and 4th centuries, the priests and emperors shared a disgust for any practice that they deemed pagan. But long-held traditions die hard, and the people resisted in giving up their feast to Janus. It became the practice of the Catholic Church to repurpose these so-called pagan feasts and instead to associate them with something Christian-like. So the Feast of Janus became known as the Feast of the Circumcision of Christ. And to this day, the Anglican and Lutheran churches still celebrate this day, calling it the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. It took a long, winding history with the calendar before January 1st was recognized globally as the first day of the new year. And America lagged behind in joining that recognition. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves here. A little understanding of how the Romans developed our modern calendar will add some really interesting context to the whole story. Before the Romans got their hands on the calendar, most ancient calendars were observationally based lunar calendars. The beginning of a new month varied slightly from culture to culture, with some beginning at the new moon when there's no moon in the sky for an entire night, and others began at the first sight of that thin crescent moon, which happens to be one of my favorite things to see in the night sky. The ancient Roman calendar began with lunar months, but the problem with a lunar calendar was that it was messy. Some months had 29 days, others had 31 days. Most weeks were 7 days long, but sometimes they had 8 days, and the calendar only had 10 months. So you, being a modern earth dweller in the 21st century, I'm sure you can already tell that this was a problem. This 10-month calendar explains our modern month names of September through December. Septem means seven, octo means eight, novem means nine, and decem means 10. But today's calendars have these months in the 9th through the 12th positions. But we're going to get to that in just a second. So this shortened 10-month calendar would mean that the seasons would quickly get out of sync with agricultural timing, and then the religious festival celebrations tied to the seasons would also be out of whack. So to make up for the lag of the 10-month calendar, two intercalary months were added from time to time. Sometimes they would just add an extra day or two, and they'd add on an entire month or two to make sure that the lunar calendar matched up to the solar calendar. This would keep the seasons in the right time of the year. When these extra months were added, they were named January and February, and they were added at the end of the year. This practice didn't always solve the problem as easily as you would think, because there were no established rules for adding these months. They were determined by the pontifices. But since the pontifices were politicians, their power over the calendar was often abused, as you can imagine. Roman citizens often didn't even know the date, and the final years of this cobbled-together calendar were known as the Years of Confusion. Julius Caesar wanted to permanently solve the calendar problem, so he got help from some mathematicians and astronomers, and he combined the old Roman months, the fixed length of the Egyptian calendar, and the 365.25 days of the Greek astronomy to form the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar was adopted in the year 45 BCE, and in order to get it into alignment so it could work going forward, that year had 445 days to make up for the missing intercalary months in the previous calendar. It was the longest year on record, And after that, the year was given 365 days with an added leap day every 4 years. And the Julian calendar remained in use for more than 1,600 years. But since the solar calendar is only 365.2417 days in length, the calendar was 10 days ahead of itself by the year 1582 when Pope Gregory VIII made new reforms. Now, don't go anywhere. In just a minute, we're going to discover why we reformed the Julian calendar and who insists on using it still today.
My name's Clayton, and I've been following the show since probably about the first episode. One of the things I enjoy most about the podcast is the diversity and variety of presenters and speakers the host has on the show. If you're into the outdoors or nature or camping, this is definitely the podcast for you. So join me in leaving a great rating or review for Night Sky Tourist on Apple Podcasts. You can click on 5 stars, leave a note to let people know why the podcast is so special.
We just talked about how the Julian calendar observed a 365.25 day year by inserting a leap day every 4 years. But over time, this would throw the calendar off because a solar day is only 365.2417 days, which is a little bit shorter than the Julian calendar had assumed. So when you fast forward 1,600 years after the Julian calendar was established, Pope Gregory issued a new leap year rule. Here's the new rule. It goes like this. Every year that is exactly divisible by 4 is a leap year, except for years that are exactly divisible by 100. But these centurial years are leap years if they are exactly divisible by 400. I know, your brain just twisted up into a knot. Here's how it would have worked in recent centuries. You ready for this? The year 1696 would have been a leap year because it's exactly divisible by 4. But 4 years later, in 1700, it would not have been a leap year, nor would 1800 or 1900. Even though all 3 of those years are exactly divisible by 4, they would not be leap years because they were also divisible by 100. However, the year 2000 was a leap year, even though it was divisible by 100, because it was also divisible by 400. Are you still not following? It's okay. Just do whatever your Google Calendar says and you're going to be fine. When Pope Gregory figured out this formula, the calendar was 10 days ahead of itself. So in the year 1582, the first Gregorian calendar was issued. And to correct the problem of those 10 days, everyone went to bed on October 4th, and when they woke up in the morning, it was October 15th. Now, the good news is that the days of the week were not altered. So they did still go to bed on a Monday night, and still woke up on a Tuesday morning. Through all of these changes in the calendar, when did the switch to January 1st as the new year take place? Not until the Gregorian calendar was established in 1582. Pope Gregory fixed January 1st as the start of the new year. But you should not think this meant that cultural traditions changed right away. Most cultures around the world held to their original seasonal New Year celebrations. Catholic countries were the quickest to adopt January 1st as the New Year, but Protestant countries, well, I guess you could say they protested. For example, the British Empire, and therefore the American colonies, continued to celebrate the New Year on March 25th, year after year after year. For about 170 years, in fact. The British Empire finally gave in and they switched to January 1st in 1752, and the American colonies followed suit. Most of the world observes the Gregorian calendar today, but there are still a few places who are holding out. Most Eastern Orthodox countries, primarily in Eastern or Southeastern Europe, adopted the new Gregorian calendar by 1924, but their national churches did not adopt it. They still use the Julian calendar to determine the dates for movable feasts, especially Easter. The Berbers, who are an indigenous ethnic group of North Africa, also continue to use a Julian-based calendar because their traditional Islamic lunar calendar does not keep the days in their seasons. Our global society acknowledges January 1st as the beginning of a new year, and like the ancient feast of Janus, people today spend New Year's reflecting on the previous year and contemplating what they want and expect in the new year. So when it comes to sky watching, January 1st was not picked because of any astronomical significance. But if you're an astronomy enthusiast, you probably already know that this is the time of year when the Earth is closest to the sun during its annual orbit. Be sure to check out the show notes for interesting links or visit nightskytourist.com/55. And before you run off to your next favorite podcast, please take a minute to share the gift of your review. Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist Podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist Podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it in your podcatcher and leave a written review. Your reviews are really important to me, and they help others discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. We'll see you here again in 2 weeks. Until then, keep looking up.